Welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. As always, halftime of Monday Night Football. Right now we're recording on Monday, November 8th. Posey, our cat, is taking a nap. We're all good to go, yeah?
Yeah, life's good in the Cowden household.
Life's great. We got a lot to talk about today. We're finally going to talk about the Air Force game I went to about a month ago, because that article is coming out today, tonight, and or tomorrow morning on mjdoubletake.com. We're going to talk about the MLS playoffs, that is soccer, that are starting here in a couple weeks, finished yesterday the season. And we're going to talk about the NBA, more specifically, my favorite game. Whose team are they on? Our funnest games are with the NBA, I feel like.
I think so. Yeah. I think the NBA is the funnest. Is the funnest league. That doesn't mean it's the best league, but it's the funnest.
It is the funnest league for sure. Before we get started on all that, though, Matt, we need to talk about Ghost Golf, those towels.
Yes.
Yes. Big thank you to Ghost Golf. If you haven't heard of them, they have the coolest towels ever. So they're magnetic, so you can stick them on your clubs, on your golf cart. It's super easy to take your wedges. Like, I just have it on my wedge when I'm going to the green. I usually don't hit the green, so I have to bring my wedge with my putter when I'm going to it. But I just have it on the wedge, like, taking the cart, super easy. It has this, like, what's called waffle technology, so it makes it really easy to clean your clubs. They have awesome colors. So check out Ghost Golf. If you go to either my social media, Twitter or Instagram, which is at JacobCowden28, or the podcast social media, Twitter and or Instagram, which is at MJDoubletake, there's a link you can get. Hit the link, you can get 15% off on the towels and also the gloves, the belts, the hats, all their stuff, using Cowden15. So again, my social media is at JacobCowden28, or the podcast, which is at MJDoubletake. Hit the link, Cowden15, coolest towels. They also have great belts, great gloves, all that stuff. So Ghost Golf, shout out to them. Let's talk about the Air Force game, Matt.
Let's talk about the Air Force game.
So the article I wrote is literally kind of just my experience at the game. Our cousin enrolled in the Air Force, so she's a freshman there. She snuck me in, didn't sneak me in. She just walked, got me into the cadet tailgate. It was not a sneaking situation. But what did you think, just kind of reading the article since you edited it?
Yeah, no, I thought it was really cool. I mean, obviously, every college has a lot of traditions with tailgates and football. And I think football is one of the last places where colleges feel like they did in the 60s and 70s and 80s, because they're still doing a lot of the same things. But then obviously, it's totally different with Air Force, because you have all of those military traditions, which is even more old school than what most colleges are doing, in a good way.
Right. And that brings up a good, the next article is about the Notre Dame game I went to. So talking about 60s, 70s, and 80s, mm-hmm. we're hitting a theme there.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was so weird and so cool. The first of all, the cadet tailgate was insane. They were playing, like, they tied these two ropes to these cadets and they'd make them play like human tug of war. They do like a bare knuckle boxing. They'll just line two people up and make them fight. It's like the wildest party I've ever been to. And I've been to like athlete parties at USC. I've had minor league baseball players crash at my house and had parties with them. Like, just crazy stuff. The cadet tailgate was the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
So super fun. The game was unreal. Like, playing the national anthem is obviously special because they're the literal troops. So it was really cool. So I just wrote a quick little article summing it up. Again, that's on mjdoubletake.com, or going to be. Don't want to give too much away. Want you to read it, but
yeah, no, it's worth a read, because they do some pretty unique, interesting stuff that you're not going to see at other tailgates.
It was just so cool to like be there and listen to my cousin and then her fellow cadets talk about life as a cadet, how football is involved in that, and it is a really big part of the school. So just cool to be around, and just so different than anywhere other than obviously Army and Navy. But I haven't been to Army or Navy, so different from anything I've been to before in my entire life. So super cool. So read that. Again, that's coming up tonight or tomorrow morning, mjdoubletake.com. Should we talk about the MLS playoffs, Matt?
Let's talk about the MLS playoffs.
Yeah, so this is going to be the main thing. But again, we'll do that little NBA game at the end. Talk about the NBA a little bit. Do you want to start with the West or the Eastern Conference?
Let's start with the West. We'll probably spend a little bit more time in the West, just because I think that's where most of us spend more of our time watching games.
Yeah.
And I would like to start, if it's all right with you, with the first round matchup of Real Salt Lake and Seattle Sounders. Not just because Real Salt Lake is our team, but because I think Seattle is going to end up winning the whole thing.
I was actually going to say Real Salt Lake's my favorite team. I think Seattle will win the whole thing as well. So we're getting our picks out of the way early. I think Seattle's the best team in soccer.
Sure. I mean, we definitely got to talk about New England when we got over to the Eastern Conference. And so don't worry. We are aware that New England exists, and we're going to talk plenty about them for sure.
Yeah.
But as far as this Real Salt Lake Seattle lineup, I think that this is going to be a very fun game. Real Salt Lake was just two or three goals behind Sporting Kansas City for the most goals in the league. I mean, they have a very potent offense. Albert Rusnak and Demir Krylov have been fantastic for us. I was shocked yesterday to find out Demir Krylov is only one goal behind Alvaro Saborío this season for the most goals in single season history for Real Salt Lake.
That's shocking, but he also does score a lot.
He scores a lot. Goals. He had 17 goals this season. And Albert Rusnak broke Nick Raimondo's record for most minutes played in a single season, which was, to me, much more surprising than the Demir Krylov thing.
Because Raimondo's a goalkeeper.
Yes, he's a goalkeeper. And I mean, even with the Nick Raimondo thing, I kind of assumed Beckerman had it.
Well, I was going to say, I thought it'd be Beckerman, just because Beckerman literally didn't not play until like the last couple years. So,
of course,
Albert Rusnak, those are by far, I think, the best two Real Salt Lake players in the heartbeat of that team. And those two need to have fantastic games for Real Salt Lake to have a shot at beating Seattle.
Yeah. So, for Real Salt Lake to win, which, like we've said, we think is going to be tricky, they will need to score a lot. Now, you would think with the most potent offense in Major League Soccer, you would think we would not need a last-minute goal to get in the playoffs, but our defense has really struggled. We have allowed almost as many goals as we have scored goals, and so the defense has really been a problem. We have not been able to figure out that back line. We've tried four in the back. We've tried three in the back, and it hasn't really worked. We've done sort of five, not really five in the back. We just haven't been able to figure out a good pattern, and the Sounders just have a great offense. They have Christian Roldan, who's going to be playing with the U.S. men's national team. Raul Ruiz Diaz, a Peruvian forward. And by the way, Peru is good right now at soccer. And
pains me to say it.
Yeah, and he's one of their best players. And so he's going to be good. Jordan Morris is back from Swansea, has joined the Sounders. And so that RSL defense is really going to have their word cut out for them, which is why I don't think they're going to get through that first round, especially being in Seattle.
That was kind of a disappointing stint for Morris in Swansea, if I may say so.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. You know, Jordan Morris, he struck me as the guy, or one of the guys like Landon Donovan, who was, well, he wasn't as good as Landon Donovan, but one of these guys who's good enough to go to Europe if he would have wanted to, but just seemed like he just wanted to stay in Seattle. Seemed like he was more comfortable with that.
He was in Seattle's academy, I believe, so he's been with the Sounders forever and then played at Stanford, then like actually joined the senior team, right?
Yeah, he had 4 years at Stanford, again showing that he likes patterns, likes staying with the same team. And by the way, I think this it's easy to criticize, like Landon Donovan got criticized for that. Like I'm definitely that kind of person that wants to be in the same place for a very long time. I think it's a good attribute. I just think it's important we recognize what it is. But anyway, so I was surprised to see him go to Swansea. I think it's going to be good for him to come back. Unfortunately, bad for Real Salt Lake for him to come back.
Yeah. Well, I think Roldan and Lodero as well for Seattle. There's so many guys who are just so, it's like the Dodgers lineup, like batting 1-8 is just so dangerous. That's how Seattle lines up.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be really tricky. As far as other teams in the Western Conference, Colorado got the number one seed by one goal. Their head coach, funny enough, fired from Chivas, and this is his first head coaching gig since then.
Chivas USA?
Chivas USA, not Chivas Chivas, but that Chivas USA.
That was a train wreck of a franchise.
Yeah, and that was a long time ago, by the way.
Yeah, that was like at least 10 years ago.
Yeah, so that has taken him a really, really long time to get back up.
Well, good for him.
Yeah, so they have a real good goal differential. Seattle actually has a little bit better goal differential than Colorado does. It's just soccer's funny like that, how Seattle ends up being the two seed by one goal. But I think Seattle ends up being the better team, especially considering how they continue to just outperform their regular season form in the playoffs over and over and over again.
Yeah, I honestly, maybe I'm discrediting Colorado, but I think Seattle, Kansas City, and Portland are all better than Colorado, and I would expect Portland to beat Colorado and then play Seattle in the conference finals, but it wouldn't surprise me if Kansas City made it there either.
Yeah, I think that home field advantage for Colorado is going to be a big deal. Not that the Colorado Rapids fans are known for being some of the best fans in MLS, but it's still home field fans in soccer, which is a big deal. And that elevation, I think, is going to help come playoff time. And they will have had that bye week, which is a big deal.
And if they're at home, that means they don't have to play at Portland.
Right.
Or Seattle, which eventually they will have to play there, but they get the last leg. So if nothing else, you don't have to go to the other stadium.
Yes,
with Colorado.
Yeah, which is really gonna help them.
Let's talk quickly about the teams that didn't make it, unless you want to finish up before we go to the Eastern Conference.
No, yeah, let's talk about these teams.
I was just not, from like July to October, I just kind of didn't pay attention too much to the table. And then next thing I know, LAFC's not in the playoffs. And they have who I think is the best player in the league, Carlos Vela. I mean, I don't know what happened, but because I wasn't watching, I just kind of wasn't paying attention. Next thing I know, they're not in the playoffs. And they've been, last year, they won the Supporters Shield, I believe, right? They've been, like, the last 2 years, I think, the best team in the league, haven't won the championship, but...
Yeah, they've been very good. It's these MLS teams, it's been a really, really interesting pattern to see the way this works. We saw it with Toronto not being a totally new team. We saw with Atlanta as well, where these teams come in, they put all this money in to get these stars, and then they either, in Toronto and Atlanta's case, they go on to win and do really well. LAFC, they do really, really well, can't quite get over the threshold to win a championship, and then they take big steps back because either some of their players will go on to bigger clubs, in the case of Atlanta. Sometimes their depth suffers or they have injury problems, like the case of Toronto and LAFC. But we see this a lot. I mean, the only new teams to come into MLS and have success really quickly and sustain it, I would say, are Seattle, Portland, and Real Salt Lake.
Yeah, and I think Seattle especially has been the model because they've been in the championship, I think, 4 out of the last 5 years and won 3.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's probably not the exact numbers, but yeah, all three of those teams, but especially Seattle, I think. So you can sustain it, but it's not a given, obviously.
Yeah, and then interesting, those three teams are not built after the same model. I mean, Real Salt Lake is certainly not bringing any stars. Portland is not a team known for its stars. Seattle has had some big names. You know, Jordan Morris is a pretty big deal.
But American soccer is a big deal.
Yeah.
Or but was coming out.
He's certainly a collegiate soccer player, which is going to be different than a lot of other people.
They had Clint Dempsey for a long time. They signed, I'm blanking on his name, but he went to China after the Sounders, but the striker with the dreadlocks.
I know exactly who you're talking about, but.
Yeah, Seattle can get players, but yeah, they're all
not the caliber of Atlanta, Toronto bringing in Michael Bradley and Jozy Altidore.
Or Carlos Vela, for that matter.
Carlos Vela, yeah. Exactly.
Before we go to the East, I just want to talk about Dallas quickly. We talked about it before we started recording. Are they the Dortmund, who's a German club, of America? Because they have the best academy. You talked about Pepe might overtake Pulisic as the best American player.
Well, hold on. I want to qualify that. I said he's sort of on that track. I think for that to happen, Pulisic would continue to have injury problems.
That it's a possibility is something.
Yes, there's a non-zero chance that that happens.
And I don't think 2 years ago we would say that about anybody, right. Any American.
Yeah.
Are they just, at what point can Dallas be good? They've been good in the past. They have all these players. They do such a good job of getting their players to Europe, which brings them a lot of money. At what point can they just hang on to some of these guys, or is that not going to happen?
It's going to be hard. You know, the thing with academies is you weirdly don't want to develop Ricardo Pepes and those sorts of players. You want to develop players like Justin Glad, Aaron Herrera, players who are really good and can help your team, but are not so good that they're going to get an offer from a European club that you can't refuse. Now, with Dortmund, it's a little bit different because they make so much money that with all their young academy players, they can still, you know, hold on to players like Marco Reus and some of those other players. Dallas, even with the money they're coming in, they're not getting the selling money that Dortmund is. So it doesn't work exactly the same.
All things considered, Dortmund is one of the most well-run teams in Europe, if you're factoring in everything.
Yeah.
Big fan of Dortmund and how they're run. Anything else before we go to the East?
You talked about teams not getting an interesting pattern. The three Seattle teams were the last three.
The
Texas teams. And then the California teams were the three above them, but the three that also missed the playoffs. So we had two states that had all three of their teams miss the playoffs, which is statistically very odd.
That is weird, especially Texas and California. It's not like random states. Mm-hmm. Wondolowski's retiring from San Jose.
Good riddance. And by that, I mean, I actually like Wondolowski. You know, I've been Madden for quite a long time with that.
For 7 years.
Missing that U.S. men's national team goal. But I think he's a good guy. And he's fun to watch play. He's so clever, so sneaky. And I believe he had more goals against Real Salt Lake than any other team that he played against.
Yeah.
Which is part of why I was sick of him.
Could score against everyone except Belgium.
Yeah.
With an open net.
Well, yeah. He had a great MLS career. Happy you're not playing Real Salt Lake anymore.
Should have been Donovan. All right. Let's talk about the East, because the East is interesting with New England setting the record. Correct me if I'm wrong, but setting the record for most points in a season.
Mm-hmm.
Regular season. So good for them. And then we have Cincinnati, who I told you before, I think is the worst franchise in American sports. Like, they have just been the trash can, just the worst, just Oscar the Grouch of the MLS. More so than I can think of. Like, I know the Jets are bad. I know the Browns have been bad. And I know Cincinnati's only been a franchise for a few years, but maybe it's not fair. But we just talked about Seattle, Portland, Real Salt Lake, and also we talked about Atlanta and LAFC. Expansion teams can come in and compete. There's no reason Cincinnati should be so bad.
Yeah, well, especially because their first year, you know, they weren't great, but they were sort of okay. They showed promise. They were really, really good as a USL club. They have had a lot of really good fan support, which can be tricky. So it's too bad for those fans that they haven't been good. So they are just going to need they just need to figure out how to get better players. There's just no way around it.
Yeah. Am I crazy to think New York City FC, which is a dumb name, that they have a shot to come out of the East? Because that's who I think I'm picking.
Well, the thing with New York City FC, NYCFC, too many letters, is that they play in Yankee Stadium, which is by far the smallest field in Major League Soccer. So they end up with a huge home field advantage because it's just so different than what everybody else is used to. Soccer, a lot of people think that soccer is like football, where there's a standard size of the field. There's actually not. It's like baseball in that sense. And so New York is used to this very short passing style. It's obviously not this like street soccer with the really, really small courts, but the style of soccer is approaching that much more than you would see at Real Salt Lake Stadium, at Atlanta Stadium, at a lot of these other places.
I know this isn't everything, but they have the Golden Boot winner, and I might mispronounce his first name. Tati, is that what we're saying? Tati Castellanos?
Close enough for me.
Having the best goal scorer never hurts.
Yes.
That combined with the field is why I think New York City is going to come out of the East. And when I say I think, I just don't want to pick New England because they're the obvious favorite, 20 points ahead of the second closest team, 19 technically, 20 points clear of everyone else on the table. Historic season. So it probably should be New England, but I think just for kicks, I'm going to say New York City FC.
Yeah, I'm picking New England, but like you say, you know, a good goal, a goal at the right time can get you pretty far. So, and that's why, you know, Atlanta, I don't see them advancing. I just don't think they have enough talent besides Josef Martínez. But, you know, I still believe in Josef Martínez. It's hard because, you know, we mentioned players leaving for bigger clubs. Miguel Almirón went to go play for Newcastle. And that has really, really hurt Josef Martínez.
Helped Newcastle, though, my favorite English team.
Yeah. And so, you know, if some of these guys in the midfield can get Josef Martínez in the right positions like Miguel Almirón could, you know, we could get a couple of goals in a surprise game.
So, quick Atlanta note. So, Brooks Lennon, who used to play for Real Salt Lake.
Really quick, you said Atlanta dote, which is an awesome word. We need to coin that. Atlanta dote.
I didn't even notice. I was trying to say anecdote.
Yeah.
Well, quick Atlanta dote, Ben. Brooks Lennon used to play for Real Salt Lake from Arizona. When I lived in Scottsdale, he was home for Thanksgiving one year. He was in the same restaurant, bar, dance, whatever you want to call it. So I just told him, hey, I'm a big fan. I'm a Real Salt Lake fan. So it's not like we were hanging out, but we had a nice 10-minute conversation, danced a little bit. Not with each other, but like we were in the same vicinity.
I gotcha.
He's a nice dude. Nice dude.
Yeah, I like Brooks Lennon. This is you can tell me if I'm derailing the conversation too far. But I read a really interesting article a couple of years ago about how players who can play multiple positions end up getting less playing time. Because their coach just thinks, oh, great, I'll have you on the bench, and then you can just play whatever position we need. But then they just end up not actually playing. So you would think it'd be good for a defender if you can play left back and right back, but those guys don't end up getting to play very much. That's sort of what happened with Brooks Lennon. He was so versatile. You know, he was a really good, he could be a central forward, he could be a right forward, he ended up being a right back. And ironically, that's why it didn't work out at Real Salt Lake. If he would have been able to just commit to right wing, and I say he, it's the coach's fault, obviously.
Yeah.
I feel he could have been a really good forward.
He was a great strong. I thought he was a really good attacking player, good attacking option, young player. So just out of necessity, I feel like they moved him to defense. I would like to see him stay up top.
We did have a ton of injuries that year, so yeah. I understand why the coaching staff did it, but just unfortunate for him the way it worked out with Real.
Now, I didn't watch Miami too much, so if you didn't either, we can not go into deep. But I love David Beckham. They have a minus 17 goal differential. I just have a feeling Miami in a few years just has too much going for them. They have an awesome facility. Again, David Beckham is running the team. It's in Miami. So you got it's one of the most Latin cities in the country. Just an awesome city in general, one of the top markets. I think they have too much going for them to not work. Is that just me simplifying it and being overconfident about Miami in the future?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think that as far as Hispanic players, if they were picking where they want to go, I think the king of that is always going to be LA, just because they have that huge Mexican population.
Yeah, especially for Mexican players.
For Mexican players, for sure. And even I think with other Latin American players, I think that soccer is a bigger deal for Mexicans and these other Central American people who are in LA, as opposed to Miami, which has a lot of Cubans who like soccer, but really baseball is their thing.
Baseball.
So I think that as far as like what's going to be the best Hispanic community, I think it's still going to be LA. But you're right. I mean, Miami has got to be a very close second to that. I think players still respect and like David Beckham. I think they've got maybe not as much money as people think they do. The team got held up for a while because they had to figure out some ownership deals. So I think there are richer owners in MLS. But you're right. I mean, I think, you know, if they are not a consistent playoff team, then it's there's no other way to look at it as a failure.
Yeah, I think that should be the floor goal. Just like at least we're in the playoffs and contending. That has to be like the minimum.
Yeah.
Give it a couple years. When I was in an LAFC game, my buddy I was with was telling me about like, and I don't honestly remember too much of it, but just like how like the Mexican culture is intertwined with LAFC. And I imagine it's the same way for the Galaxy. It was just really cool to see. And the crowd was mostly Hispanic at mm-hmm. the game. Super fun atmosphere, super fun game. It's the only MLS game I've been to that's not a Real Salt Lake game. Mm-hmm. But it was way fun. And it was when they played Toronto, and Toronto was really good a couple years ago. So LAFC should also be in the playoffs. I think that covered it. So I got Seattle beating New York City in the finals.
And I have Seattle beating New England.
My baseball predictions, I went 0-for-4 in the first round. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Want to play our little NBA game? Is there anything else we want to cover soccer-wise?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. NBA started. I think we already talked about this, but it's the funnest league. Just every team you can follow. You can watch any game, maybe not Houston or any team James Harden plays for. But other than that, it's so fun. They have some entertainment no matter what you're doing. Detroit has like Cade Cunningham. Houston even has Jalen Green. So there's a lot going on. So Matt and I wanted to play a little game of what team are they on now? Just because there's so many times I'm watching a game. Free agency is so crazy in the NBA. It's one day. It's like 12 hours, and there's so many deals that get made. It's easy to lose track of who's on what team. So I have three players. Matt has three players. I have a tiebreaker if I need to. We'll see who can guess what team is or who has the most players or who can – you know what I'm trying to do.
I gotcha.
Do you want to guess first or second?
I will guess second.
Okay. So I'm up.
You're up. Okay. Your first player to guess. Larry Nance Jr.
Okay, well, I'm guessing he's not in Cleveland anymore. I don't think this... No, it's not. Ah, crap. Is it... I don't think it's Sacramento, but I'm going to say Sacramento.
It is not Sacramento.
Who is it?
He plays for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Trying to picture him. I think he's a good player. I think he's a serviceable... center, backup center.
Yeah.
Athletic.
I think so.
Okay, ready?
Ready.
This could either be really easy or really hard.
Okay.
Robin Lopez.
Oh, you know what? That was one that I looked up for you. I'm not going to look at my cheat sheet because I don't have that window open. I think it's the Pelicans, right?
The Orlando Magic.
Oh, the Magic. Shoot, that's right.
Which makes sense because he's obsessed with Disney.
Yes, that's true.
So we're both... 0-for-0. We got to go until one of us scores if we go 0-for-3.
Yeah, no, I think one of us will score. Okay. All right. Dennis Smith Jr.
North Carolina State. I guess not a grad. Former North Carolina State player. So, okay, not with the Knicks anymore because this is a question. He's not in Chicago. For some reason, I just go to like that, the Eastern Division that's like Chicago, Milwaukee. But I don't think he's. Is he in Detroit?
No, he is not.
Okay, I'm guessing I wasn't even close.
Dennis Smith Jr. also plays for the Portland Trail Blazers.
Oh, crap. Okay, well, I haven't watched Portland, I guess, this year. I watched him play. I guess I wasn't paying too much attention because I've seen at least one Portland game when they were playing, I think, the Grizzlies.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm 0 for 2. Ready?
I'm ready.
Doug McDermott. Dougie McBuckets.
Dougie McBuckets. Yeah, I remember Dougie McBuckets. Let's see. I'm going to say... I feel like they wouldn't let him leave the Midwest. So I'm going to say the Pistons.
San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, the Spurs. Yep.
Yeah.
That seems like a team for him.
Try Jimmer. Didn't work, so they figured bringing McDermott.
I guess. Yeah.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
All right. Tony Snell.
Is he still in Milwaukee? If he's on Portland, I'm going to lose my mind. Milwaukee's my guess. He's Portland, isn't it?
Yeah. Tony Snell's also on Portland. I would just look at Portland's roster, and it's like, what are they trying to do?
That is a weird roster. I don't know. What are they going to do? Because Damian Lillard is so good to the point where you can't trade him. It has to be him. Like,
I don't see what they would do. There's no way they would get the value back for trading him. Even if they get like two all-stars and four first-round picks, I don't feel like it's the value, you know?
Yeah, it just, they are, I mean, they're never going to get great draft picks while Dame plays for them. But like, you just have to figure out how to get a, draft a good player. Like, who was the last good draft pick? Like, did they draft Gary Trent?
Yes.
Like he was good and he was, you know, serviceable, but he's not on the team anymore.
Yeah. Well, and Zach Collins is good. He's also not on the team anymore. But I liked him coming out on Gonzaga. I thought he played well for him. And McCollum, same thing. I feel like you'd lose value no matter what the trade is. I feel like it wouldn't be as good a value coming back for you if you trade McCollum either.
Yeah, McCollum is not like a you trade him and get a star back. Yeah. So there's just no package they can put together to give Dame help. So I mean, good for him wanting to stay. That's what he really wants. But I think he is starting to realize that he's just never gonna get the help that he would need.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Liv, you get this, you win.
All right.
I don't think you're gonna get it, so we might have to do a tiebreaker of somehow.
Okay.
Torrey Craig,
I'm pretty sure he was on the Pistons last year, so I'm going to say he is still on the Pistons.
Close. Indiana Pacers.
All right. Okay, well.
Well, we suck at this. It's hard.
It is a hard game. I mean, I do have a couple more if you want to try to keep going.
Let's try to keep going. If we both go over five, we'll call it a tie.
Yeah, no. I did have a good one here. Okay, this one I think you could get. Tristan Thompson.
Oh, I should honestly know this. Oh, crap. I know he's not on the Lakers, but it doesn't seem like he'd be on the Lakers with what they're doing with the roster. Is he on the Clippers?
Sacramento Kings.
Ooh, I didn't picture him as a Sacramento guy. How does Khloe feel about that, Kardashian? Are they still together?
Why would you think I would know that? What about our relationship?
Yeah, you're probably the worst person in the entire world to ask. Have been keeping up. Matt does not keep up with the Kardashians.
I do not.
Okay. Ready?
I'm ready.
Thaddeus Young. I want to double check. I got the team right that he's on. Yeah, I did.
Still on the Pacers.
He is on the Spurs.
Spurs, interesting.
Yeah.
Did he go on a trade package with McBuckets, do you think?
I think they just both signed.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Unless I missed something. I'm not paying attention to a lot of the Pacers transactions, but I think they just both signed there.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, let me give you one. This one I think you have actually a quite good chance of getting. This is by far the easiest.
True.
Rodney Hood.
Crap, man. Sacramento.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Really?
Yeah.
Good for him. I liked Rod. He hit his shot when he played for Duke, when he is at Syracuse. He hit like a 25, 30 footer. I know it's a wide range, but like it was a while ago. I don't remember. But he hit all this crazy shot to go into overtime, and Duke ended up losing that game. But that game was one, it must have been 2013 or 2014 because it was our freshman year at BYU. That was one of the funnest basketball games I've watched. So, and Rodney Hood did a buzzer beater for Utah against Dallas to win, which I was at. I think you were too.
Yeah, I was there. But one of our friends was trying to recruit us to sell things in the summer,
which we did not do. But the suite was cool.
Suite was cool. It's a good guy. So we appreciate it.
Rodney Hood's cool. Yeah. So Milwaukee. Good to know. Okay. Let me think. Okay, here's one. I think you'll know. You give me a layup, I'll give you a layup.
Okay.
I missed my layup. Paul Millsap
is not on the Nuggets anymore. He is on the Nets.
Yes.
Okay.
We went one for 10 collectively. That is a hard game, though. Like, thinking of, like, role players that move teams. Try to do that. Think of three or five players with your friends.
Yeah, because at least for me, I don't think there's a lot of people who don't experience the NBA like this. I am a NBA fan in the way that most people are Major League Baseball fans, in that they just follow their team and they know enough about the other team, like who some of the stars are, but they really don't know the role players. That's how I experience the NBA with the Jazz.
Yeah, I love watching the NBA, but I'm not rarely not scheduling around it. So I just watch whatever's on either ESPN or TNT. So I haven't watched like a Cleveland Cavaliers game. I was going to say this year, but really since LeBron left.
Right.
For example, you know, so I can't, other than like the rookies, like Sexton and Porter. I know Sexton's not a rookie, but like the young guys, mm-hmm. Kevin Love. Yeah, so it's a fun game.
Play it if you think we're dumb, because it's harder than it sounds. But we got one. I'm glad we didn't go over 5. That would have been embarrassing.
That would have.
Yeah, so we talked about that. We'll talk about it a little more. There's, again, the Notre Dame game. Went to the Notre Dame football game last week, so we'll write about that. So we'll do another one before November ends. I know it's kind of a long gap between this and last episode. But we did a lot. Talked about the MLS playoffs. The Air Force game, again, mjdoubletake.com. Really cool. Really cool. Game, really cool stadium, really cool atmosphere. So I'd recommend reading that, going to there. I want to do another shout out for Ghost Golf. Matt, do you have anything to say before that or in addition to Ghost Golf?
No, I don't think so. So why don't we just dive right into Ghost
Golf? It's super cool. Yeah, I just like love talking about it because it's like the coolest towels. Again, they're magnetic, so you can pick them up with your clubs, just throw it at your bag, throw it at the golf cart they attach to it. Really easy to clean your clubs. They look cool. They're slick. I have a black and a white one. They got a couple other cool colors as well. If you go to my social media, either Twitter or Instagram, that's the podcast, at MJ Double Take, but mine is at Jacob Cowden 28. You can hit the link. Cowden 15 gives you 15% off on any of the towels, bags, gloves, any of the golf stuff. So again, Ghost Golf. Hit the link in my bio to get a discount. Super cool stuff. Magnetic towels are awesome. Appreciate you sticking with us. We will talk to you guys in a couple weeks. We got a couple guests we're chatting to. Haven't locked them in yet. Possibility of a really cool guest coming on in a couple weeks. But we'll see if we can get them. But either way, going to have a lot of stuff to talk about. So we'll talk to you then.